try again.
Hey, it's Thursday night, and you're listening to Kayak Fishing Radio, and I'm Chip Gibson, the tree hugger. Welcome aboard. We are got a quiet night here in the ATL. It actually hasn't been bloody hot like it has been the last few weeks. We've gotten out of the hundreds. We're down in the high 80s, low 90s here recently, so not too uncomfortable, and the humidity's been low. So I hope that the weather's treating everyone else well, and we'll look for good fishing days to come. We're moving into the end of the summer and early fall, which is one of my favorite times to hit the beaches. So I'm the only one here on Buzzards Row right now, but I'm sure other folks will be joining us in a bit. But we'll say good evening to the folks in the chat room. There's Brett and Hammerhead, Greg, and the Pop is in there. And CB Kayak from our friends up in Chesapeake Bay. So welcome to Kayak Fishing Radio. And look there, Chuck or D?
Chuck.
Hey, dude. Chuck.
Hey, dude.
I got you some new music, man.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. You don't have to keep hitting replay, replay, replay anymore on your intro. Check it out. Starts off a little lighter than the earlier one, but it picks it up. You approve?
Yeah, it's awesome, man. Appreciate it.
All right.
Like a whole song now.
Yeah, you got your whole song, man, you know. You can kind
of
turn it down, you know. You can hit the slider down, you know, and kind of put a little talk in there and then crank it up and all. And we always have the one for Ms. D. How are you, ma'am?
Hi, how are you? Nice segue.
And, okay, so I click on my little message page over here, my little recent, and I'm reading Miss D. Kaminsky. Slow day on the water, one trout at 30 inches and a 30-inch snook that plowed the water in front of me and snubbed me. Lots of hit and misses, and just like Mr. Mike Torregrossa, whatever. You catch a 30-inch trout and you say it's a slow day. So.
I didn't even get back. You know, I have no idea what anybody said, but I have had such a busy day. There isn't even a minute left in my life. I haven't even eaten yet. So let me catch up with you in a second. But what did he say?
he said, yeah, whatever. You catch a 30-inch trout and you call it a slow day. And it's a, yeah. And then Josh Henson is like wondering when you're going to break the Kayak Wars record.
Oh, and there you go. Yeah.
And Dave is like saying 30-inch trout.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you why it was slow. It's because you launch and you fish for like a half hour, and that's the only fish you catch. And then you're out there for 5-6 hours and nothing's going on but excitement, like that snook plowing through the water. Actually, there were a couple of them, but I mean, this guy was just literally plowing through the water, and I thought it was a shark.
Yeah.
But what I was doing was I jumped out of the kayak to go net some pinfish because I wanted to go see if I could hook up on some of the snook that I know are sitting by the inlet. And I get out of the water, or I'm in the water, and I barely even get my net wrapped up to cast, and there's this plowing thing, and I thought it was this shark. And I looked at it, and it passes by me and just sits in front of me and shows gold. The back sits out of the water, the tail's out of the water, and I'm looking at it going, oh, my God. I drop my cast net. It's not going anywhere, of course. I run and get my top water because that's the only thing I have really hooked up at that point, and I'm casting as it decides to start moving. I'm casting again, retrieving, casting again. Nothing's working. So it was just plowing. It wasn't even going after any food. It was just kind of snubs you. It's like, what the hell is it doing?
It's all the mermaid. It had to come over and talk to you.
Right? It
yeah.
was huge. Just huge. It was beautiful. I mean, you could see the stripe and everything. It was just
right.
So, yeah, so that's why I consider what I consider a slow day is one fish, and it's the first thing that you catch, and then the rest of the day is like, eh, whatever, you know. Yeah.
That's so cool.
All right. Yay.
That's cool. All right. You can grab a hot dog or something and a beer and catch up later.
Well, actually, Brian's going to be cooking up some fresh calamari. Yay.
Yay?
So
like
we'll
in rings? Did he slice it in rings, or are you going to do...
Oh, yeah. Fresh squid, yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. He cuts it up, and he breads it, and he'll fry it up, and says, I'll bring you some. I said, no, I won't be there that long, because tomorrow's another busy day, so...
Whoa.
So I'm just warning you, I won't be here for a while.
Okay.
I mean, I'm here for a bit, but I have to get going.
Okay. Well, it's always good. And I heard you on Monday night. I mean, you were on the Redfish Chuck Show.
Yeah, I was.
How was that?
The show?
Yeah, how was it with, you know, talking to Redfish Chuck? Don't worry, I can mute him if he starts spouting off.
Talking to Chuck on the radio was like talking to Chuck in person. I mean, it was like talking to you as well, you know. what do you want me to say?
Right, okay.
I love
that. You guys were fishing. That was a pretty interesting shark attack there that you had on your redfish there.
Oh, my God. Another story? Is this going to be the D show?
It could be. We'll just give you the first 15 minutes.
The reason why I went out where I went out again today was because the other day, and it happens occasionally, and I was trying to explain that to Chuck and Brittany when we went out the other day, at this breeding season of these redfish. And being by the inlet, what they do is they plow through the water, kind of like what that snook was doing, but the redfish come in schools, in giant schools, and they'll just come up on the flat, and they'll plow through like piranha, and they'll just hit everything that's, you know, in front of their face. And they were coming through, and I happened to already have had my pinfish, and I threw it out there in one hit. And I just wanted to make sure that I really did get hit and not, like, broken off. And I set the hook, even if it was a circle hook. Thank you, Chuck. It was your hook, by the way. Chuck's on, right? Redfish Chuck?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm sorry. I muted my phone.
Oh, okay. So he gave me this big bag of 3-0 circle hooks, so I was so happy with that. So I got this redfish on there, and I have him hooked up, and he's starting to run. And all of this whole school of, I swear they were 40 to 50 inch redfish just surrounded my kayak. And this guy's just heading straight for the center of the Indian River Lagoon. And I had to pull up anchor because I thought he was going to spool me. And I just let him go and drag me a bit. And I cranked it every so often just so I could keep some line on the reel. And he finally started turning back in towards shore. And I thought that was really strange. But I think that shark may have been chasing him. And that's why he made that U-turn. And I got him pretty close to the kayak. It couldn't have been more than 30 feet. And then this big, giant shark tail comes out of the water. And I went, oh, no.
Just like
that? That was it. I wish I had, like, a GoPro camera or something. And I'm pulling this head into my kayak with this big, giant blood trail like it was Jaws, you know. I mean, just blood everywhere. And so I got it into the kayak, and I put the lip gripper on him, and I'm thinking, you know what, I better not drag this guy to shore because I still needed a photo. It's a great story.
Yeah.
So I actually picked it up and threw it in my kayak. I've never had so much blood in my kayak in my entire life. It was crazy. And
like catch a dolphin.
Oh, my God, yeah. Yeah, it's like, you know, you see the offshore boats and, you know, you gaff a fish and it's all over the boat. But this is in your kayak.
Bloody
and
dick.
I don't have uppers, so it's not. Yeah. So I got to shore and I took the best photos I possibly could. I mean, it was so heavy. There was no way I could even pick the thing up still. It was just, I was just bloody. All my clothes. Thank God for Columbia clothes that are the guts. Clothes.
Yeah, blood and guts are good. Stains come out.
Yeah, all that came right out, yeah.
That had to be at least a 45-inch fish, Dee.
Actually, based on measurements and recreation of other people's fish, it turned out to be 49.
49. At least. I mean, you had, 32 there with half of his body gone.
Right. Yeah. And I talked to the kayak work guys, and they said, post the fish. And I said, well, do I post the fish as is, or do I post the fish what I thought it should have been? He goes, heck, throw the whole thing up there because, I mean, you pulled the fish in, right?
Yeah.
So I got to throw it up there at 49. Yeah.
Sweet.
I know. You know how many points that is?
That's I know, awesome. Right? That's like a quality fish. You get quality points for that.
Well, I don't know how it's going to pan out because the actual largest redfish on there right now is 48, and it's a full fish. How do you post a half fish saying it's 49?
Yeah. Do it 48 right. And a half. Really piss them off.
He's a friend of mine. It's kind of hard to do that. You know?
Oh, well. then he'll take it well.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can always defer any prize or anything like that, but I mean.
Absolutely.
That's a great. It's unfortunate when that happens, you know, but the shark's got to eat. How big do you think the shark was?
Oh, God. I mean, did you see the half moon bite out of that
fish? I know,
fish?
But that was, I mean, that. Well, let's see. That's the board, your measuring board's what, 4 inches wide? So, I mean, you're talking about... I'm thinking probably a 12-inch bite radius or 8-inch bite radius, something like that. That's a big fish.
It was a big tail.
Yeah.
I saw that come up, and I went, wow.
Let's see if,
The tragedy is I fought that fish for like 45 minutes only to have it cut in half.
Right there at the boat.
Right? And now I feel big time for these people that do a lot of the offshore fishing when they're dealing with that. I mean, I pulled in a kingfish the other time I went out offshore fishing and half of it came back and I was all pissed off.
Yeah.
But to have that happen inshore was like, wow.
And then what are you supposed to do? I mean, I've never really. I mean, I've had like snapper and stuff cut in half, you know. But I just toss them back in because the dolphin, you know, the porpoise or the sharks or the kings, whatever it takes them, they eat them up. But, I mean, you got that big old redfish. I mean, did you just throw him back in the water to rot?
I literally dragged him back into the mangroves and left him in there hung up because I didn't want him. Oh, and I popped his eyeballs out so he wouldn't bob up and down. You know,
right.
The eyeballs carry the air pockets or whatever in there.
Right.
And I don't know if it actually sank or anything, but I did my thing and left
crabs
it in the mangroves. But I watched it bob up and down for a while, and then I didn't see it today. So, and that's where I left it, where I picked up or I cast net for pinfish to begin with for bait.
Yeah, that's good.
So it was gone.
Yeah.
And you got to remember, you've got all the vultures around there.
Oh yeah.
You've got the eagles are there, and I mean, just
there's plenty of carrion eaters there that need some food.
Yeah.
It's not going to go to waste.
It was a big fish.
Yeah.
My dog's head would have fit in that fish's mouth, and he's a Labrador, you know. I mean, it was huge. And I tried to somehow give some sort of reference on its size based on, like, I tried to put my foot underneath it to pick it up and kind of show its size, but I had my pants on at that time, so just too hard to. But I've never had that happen in shore. I mean, today there were tons of bonnet heads everywhere. So
yeah, but
I'm
that
not
wasn't a,
quite
that
sure.
wasn't a bonnet head. Bonnet heads don't get but like 3 feet long.
Well, they don't even have teeth, and they don't do that.
Yeah. Chuck, what kind of shark do you think that was, Jen?
Either a baby bull shark or a small black tip.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's exactly, I don't think it was a bull because it looked like it had a very long fin in the back, the tail. And I don't think bulls are real thin like that one. I think the black tips have a thinner tail fin. So, but, yeah, it taught me a lesson.
Never, don't hang your feet in the water, right?
Stringer. Yeah, right. Yeah.
You're going to have a stringer of those nice little flounder that you like to catch and going to feel some tug, you know, and the boat's going to turn sideways on you one day and you're going to go, whoa, what was that? Your stringer's going to be gone.
Well, that's definitely a no-no, yeah.
You go down to the south end of the lagoon, you get into the south end of the lagoon and the alligators will take them from you.
Oh, God, I don't know. You know, that's ironic that you've just brought that up. I do not remember ever taking any fish from, like, the Mosquito Lagoon area or up north Indian River Lagoon area.
Mm-hmm.
I've only taken fish by the Sebastian Inlet area if I had to because of either, you know, taco night or fish I caught didn't survive and it was slot, you know, that kind of a thing.
Cool.
But I never take them from way up there. I don't know why.
Hmm.
Somebody wants to drive with fish that long, right? All the way from there to
you,
here.
That one day we fished together there, you had that little flounder, though, that one flounder.
Yeah, but that fit in my bag without a problem.
Yeah.
There's a difference. So not
that's
not
a pan-sized
stringer.
Fish. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was, what, 15 inches?
Right.
Something
that's
like
a good eating size.
Beautiful.
Just right for stuffing.
Sweet.
Yes. I'm going to say hi to Rob. Hello, Rob.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man. How are you tonight?
Good story.
I know.
I was wondering how big that shark was.
They don't have to be real big to bite you.
I've seen some pretty big bull sharks around here, you know, around Dunedin Causeway and stuff like that. I mean, big ones, like 8-footers.
Mm-hmm.
That's like 50 feet off the beach. So I know, you know, they're around, man.
Yeah, they're apex predators. They belong there. I noticed Hammerhead's in the chat room there. Mark Lozer just showed up. My pop's in there. CB Kayak 02, which is Chesapeake Bay friend there, and Brett Allen from Georgia Kayak Fishing. They're all in the chat room, but I know that they closed the beaches up there in New England. Where was it? You know, the old Jaws thing, because of all the Rob just lost his connection. Because of great whites cruising the beach. So Mark's asking, what are we talking about? It was D story time for the first 20 minutes. So let D tell us stories. D, I'm gonna go to Panama City for Labor Day, and I'm going to fish with what I think is probably some the Fish Like a Girl competition in that area for you. It's Linda Cabot.
Yeah.
So I'm going to fish. We're going to the Panama City Kayak Fishing Group has a first Saturday fishing event that they do, and everybody's kind of invited, and we're going to fish inshore on that Saturday, Labor Day weekend. So it's the first time it's like a 4.5 hour drive from here, and never got a chance to fish with her. I know some of the other folks from Georgia Kayak Fishing have been down there and fished with Linda and them in the Panama City area. So we're going to fish inshore maybe Sunday or Monday morning if the weather's good. We'll try to get offshore and maybe pick up a king or two. There's still a couple of tarpon cruising around up there too. So
yeah, she's an awesome snapper fisher person.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
She knows what she's doing. You listen to everything she tells you, and you'll fish like a girl.
I'm going to put my pink shirt on and wear it.
Right.
Just because I know women. I married a woman and been married to her for like 30 years, and I just pay attention. I've learned that after all of these years. So I don't argue.
Yeah.
Exactly. So if anybody else is interested, we're going to be on the Tyndall Air Force Base side of Tyndall Bridge. So you cross over headed south towards Tyndall Air Force Base. It'll be immediately on the left as you come across the bridge. I think Brett's seen if he can get a kitchen pass and maybe join us down there also. But 6 a.m. inshore fishing. And we'll probably be off the water before all of the weekend boaters get out there and start trying to run us over and stuff. But should be a
and
good.
And I pray the weather works well for you. It's been really tough over there. So
yeah, yeah. They've been like right on the bottom of all these fronts and everything. So it's been raining and stuff.
Right.
Yeah, but I keep an eye on her posts, and she's. I've invited her to come on, but she works on Wednesday and Thursday nights. So Chuck, we might have to get her to call in on your show or one of Rob's shows 1 week and talk to her, because I don't know if you've seen her posts, but Linda Cabot, Captain Linda Cabot from Panama City, she's a heck of a fisherwoman. I don't try to compare, but she's definitely a fish like a girl. So. She has put out some interesting. Did you see her pictures, Dee, from when she did her Key West trip earlier in the year?
Oh, absolutely! I follow
big tarpon
Linda
and stuff
all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's also sponsored by Captain Joe's Fish on Lures, so
okay.
We stay in contact. Yeah,
very cool.
She's Edgy Joe and all his lures and stuff like that. CaptainJoe'sFishing.com.
Right, CaptainJoeSFishing.com. Yeah, and I'm going to stop in, too, and say hello to Brad Stevens from Sun Jammers there. And
excellent.
Yeah, I think that'll be fun to get with all those folks. And I made an order for some kayak fishing stickers, so they're on their way, Chuck. And so we'll put some stickers on people's stuff. So what do we say? Let me see what's... Lozier is in the chat room there. Mark Lozier and Jeff Madry has just shown up. And so ocean side of the Cape where the great whites are is what Hammerhead says. Competing against power boaters in tournaments this weekend. Ooh. Okay. Heck of a case. Greg Crisp is going to do the NEKF Striper Shootout. So, and I want to let everybody know too. We had some technical difficulties. I think Chuck, you mentioned it on your show for everybody to start voting for the Kayak Anglers Choice Awards, but I had a mistake in the technical aspect of the thing. So, if you go now to SurveyMonkey.com/S/kayak fishing, you should see the kind of bland, but it's a few pages of the voting, and you just click the box, and the voting is open. There was some technical difficulty. I got it squared away today, the voting is open. So get your votes in. You can vote as many times as you want. I think I'm going to limit it if I see, because every time you log in, it gives you an identifiable user number and it checks your IP. So if I see somebody voting for themselves like 50 times, which is why we took Chuck off the ballot. So, but so we're going to limit it. What do you think? 50 votes per person? Because we're not getting like, you know, a penny a vote or anything like that, but. I think everybody would be fair about it. I mean, if you want to sit there for hours and go through the thing. But limit it to 50 votes per IP address. So if you change IP addresses, okay, good on you. But go ahead and vote. Whoa, what's that? Okay. But, yeah, so the voting is open. Go ahead and vote. We can't vote from Kayak Fishing Radio. They can't vote from yakangler.com. But rest of it. There might be, if you see, if someone is missing out of the Kayak Angler or the Kayak Angler Guide, it's because I never got a response to the email that I sent asking if it was okay for them to be on there. And there were a couple of them. Okay, the link is, let me put that up. But I wanted to make sure everybody had the opportunity to either say yes or no they wanted to play. But and then if there's something missing out of the kayak or the club or the tournament or something like that, there's an option for a write-in. But there's no write-in possibilities for the guides or the fishermen because I wanted to make sure everybody had agreed to play. Does that sound good? So, Chuck, you asleep, man? Hello?
Nope, not asleep, dude. Got me on mute.
Oh, you're on mute. Okay. All right. So, yeah, so we're, there it is. I put the link up in the chat room, surveymonkey.com/S/kayak fishing. And, that'll get you to the post and make your votes, and we're going to leave it open to, I don't know, we'll see. We'll give it at least to the end of October and see if we want to keep it open or not, but we'll see what kind of responses we get. So that's about 6 weeks left, and we'll see what it looks like on 1 November. And good luck to everybody that's in there. Dee, I know you're in there. Along with your sister Dorothy.
Now everybody knows what my real name is. Look at that.
No, I said your sister. I didn't do it.
Oops.
Oops. All right. So everybody vote, and then we'll announce it, and we'll make it up, and I'll get some stickers for the car there, Hammerhead. And we'll do it that way. I don't know what happened to Rob. He just kind of dropped off there. I know that Becker and probably Bill are over at the Heroes on the Water meeting in Tampa this week or this evening. So I told them that we would support and give them as much airtime as they wanted. I did hear from D. Kelly yesterday, and the Jamaica Bay tournament is, hang on, let me see what she said. They don't have a hard date for it, but The J-Bay tournament is usually the weekend after Mother's Day. So what date is that? Dee, what day is Mother's Day?
Oh, my God, I don't know.
We've already had it for this year, right?
Mother's Day?
Yes,
yeah.
Mother's Day is in May.
May, yeah.
May?
So that's so for 2012, it'll be May 13th, 2012, and then that would make the, let's see, where's my calendar here? Do you want to go do the J-Bay tournament with us? Anybody
Where is
up for
it?
Say what?
Where's the J-Bay tournament?
Jamaica Bay, New York.
New York.
You got an accent that you could get by with up there.
No, I can't. Probably can't do that one.
Probably can't do that?
No.
Really? Okay, so the weekend following Mother's Day for 2012 will be May 20th. Let me put that in there. The good old calendar there. We need to get kind of a calendar up. So J-Bay, May 20th is the tentative date. And I know that Hammerhead's saying 17 to 20. So second weekend in May. And I know Hammerhead did it last year, and I'm going to try it this year. I might just have to fly up and then get a kayak from somebody up there. It seemed like Greg was doing the man in the field there and running around talking to folks at the tournament, everybody was fishing out of Hobies up there. So seems like a interesting event. So what else did I have? Oh, I got an email from... Let me open up my email here. I got an email from someone with a new tournament, and they were asking for some support. We'll give you all the airtime support we can. Well, that's on the other email. But we'll support as much as we can. Al Stillman. Thanks, Mark. So Greg is saying he'll bring food to J-Bay, plus he has some extra kayaks for guys to fly in. Yeah, I know, and so that would be fun. Chuck, what are you up to this week, man? Next week and
nothing really. I mean, I'm gonna try and get out and do more fishing.
Right.
He's kind of lit a fire underneath my butt, so I'm gonna try and get out there and get on some more trout on the topwater thing. Kind of got me really excited and September the 7th, I've got a big tackle convention-ish. It's a dealer show in Orlando, and my good friends from Shimano of America are going to be there, along pretty much everybody else in the industry. It's kind of a miniature ICAST, so I'm super excited about that.
Cool.
Yeah, you know, and... kind of plug a little bit for our show and see what, you know, if I can't get some people interested in giving me some goodies to give away, and we'll see.
That'll be fun.
Yeah.
We'll get you some, stickers.
Yeah. I like to, go to those shows, man, because I don't get to go out to Vegas for ICAST, so it's basically like my version of ICAST until next year.
Right.
And then, yeah, I get to see all the new cool stuff and talk to the guys and see a lot of the industry reps that I know that I haven't seen in a year or so since the last show. So, good stuff.
Yeah, and I've made my 1 year of probation in my job, so now I can actually take some serious leave if I wanted to. So, I think we need to start doing more boondoggles and getting out and meeting folks. It's because it's lots of fun to meet people and fish with them. Have you ever fished with anybody that you didn't like, you know, that you actually went to fish with? I mean, I know that there's been people who have pulled up next to me while I was fishing that I didn't like, but usually, though, when I go fishing with somebody, I usually have a good time.
I've met a few folks on the water that have come through the store that are like, hey, we should fish sometime together. And I'm usually a pretty good judge of character, but on a few occasions I was dead wrong and vowed that I'd never fish with that individual ever again.
Yeah, it might be a little different for like you and Dee, you know, when you get a client or something, you take somebody out guiding that really rubs you the wrong way.
Now, this is even just fun fishing. You know?
Really?
I don't know. I fish a certain way, and Dee fishes much like I do, kind of stealthy, and we like to kind of keep things kind of quiet. And you get out there with somebody, and they just talk and talk and talk and talk and talk, or yell at you from all the way across the flat, or you know, drop their pliers in the bottom of the boat, and just, you know, whatever.
You know, now that I fish with you guys once, the next time I will bring my squirt gun.
Well, you know, there's this one guy that was casting, you know, and he had his stakeout pole behind him, and he casted and created this giant bird's nest because
he
couldn't get. Oh,
that
my God, and
before.
Then the noise after that was crazy. All the fish disappeared within 2 miles.
No, they didn't. You caught one on topwater shortly after that.
What am I talking about, Chip?
worried about scaring fish.
I agree with Chuck. I mean, I don't think I've ever met someone that I really would normally just say, hey, let's go fishing. Other than what had happened with Chuck and Brittany from Florida Fisherwoman, is that what it is?
Florida Fisherwoman.
Florida Sportswoman. And to me, that was something that I don't normally do. So it was really, really fun, and she was just great, and obviously Chuck's always great. So that was a really fun time. But when you're with a client, you know, the client's always right, but you just try to teach the client that, well, you're going to miss a fish if you keep doing that noise. So I've never really fished with anybody that I hated or disliked.
Are they always right, even when they hold the spinning reel upside down?
Yeah. Well,
no.
You don't get mad at them and hate them. You just teach them that's not the way to do it. That's all. That's what you're there for. You know,
right?
You're there to teach them, so you can't get mad at them. So.
No.
But. What irks me more than anything is when you make friends with somebody in conversation via Facebook or in the shop or, you know, wherever you are, and they go, let's go fishing. Oh, where are the fish?
Right.
But they forget to realize that the reason why you are who you are is because you know where the fish are. This is how you make money. And they think that they can take advantage and say, where are the fish? You know,
right.
Where have you been going? What are you doing? You know, what are you using? This is how we make our living. You know, it's tough to say, listen, it's at this island and just leave it at that, you know, something like that. So that you don't, you know, it's 360 degrees, right?
Right.
You figure it out.
Yeah.
So you try to work with them, but you also got to let them understand, you know.
Lozier is really
hard for that info.
Lozier's doing the old Southern Baptist thing and yelling amen in the chat room right now.
Oh, yeah. Who's that?
Agreeing. Mark Lozier.
Yay, Mark.
Yeah, he's agreeing with you. Mark says,
tough.
Mark says his answer is in the water. That's where the fish are.
Well, I say they're in the river. So yeah,
in the river,
same thing, right?
Yeah. Did you give me a Coke? Oh man, I left it in the machine.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, but that's how we make a living. And mm-hmm. same with Chuck, you know. I mean, he gets his clients through the shop, and he works really hard, and you just can't give everything out.
No.
You can give tips and tricks and, you know, ideas and whatnot, and that's what the Kayak Radio is all about. But I'm not telling you, it's like at this GPS coordinate.
Right.
Yeah.
And our friend from Chesapeake Bay Kayak, he says he works as a mate on a charter boat, and it's the exact same way. The folks asking for stuff after they get to know you. No, I mean, it's true. I mean, it's tough, and you have to make the call. And certainly I don't think anybody would, I don't know, I wouldn't have my feelings hurt. Hello? you bleeping out something?
Not me.
All right. So, yeah, you know, that's how you make a living. You can't give it away. So,
I mean, you can teach somebody everything that you know, or not everything you know. You can teach somebody enough to get out there and start catching fish right away without having to give them up your secret spots and your secret tactics and this kind of thing. I think B has some, I have some, everyone's got them, whether it's tips or tricks or bait that you use a certain time of the year. I mean, if a guy comes to me at the shop and he's like, hey, I've never caught a redfish, and you know, I really want to get out there and catch one. What can I do? I guarantee you, by the time he leaves my store, he knows more than the next guy will who tries to do it on his own for 3 years.
Right.
So, it's like a fine balance you got to walk. I mean, you don't want to piss people off, but at the same time, you know, if you give them a little bit and they go out and it works, then you got them forever. And that's what I tell my boss sometimes. I get a little carried away talking to customers. I could spend an hour and a half, 2 hours with a guy and just barely break the surface on things that he needs to learn to do for the river. And the guy might walk out and just buy a pack of hooks. You know, so I basically burn up 2 hours of working time to sell a $3 pack of hooks. But at the same time, that guy goes out and kills it. He comes back, and now he's our customer for life.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's buying new combos, he's buying this, buying that. So, yeah, it's definitely, it can be challenging, but there's ways around it.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you guys something. Are you hearing the little duck noise in the background?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm not just crazy. There is a little duck noise somewhere. Is it you, Dee?
Mm-mm.
Must be Chuck.
No, I'm drinking beer.
I have the ducks in my
Rob DeVore.
No, Rob's not here. It's just me, you, and Chuck. And I keep hearing this little duck noise.
Maybe you need sweet water.
Chuck and myself only on the phone?
That's it. We're the only ones here. Rob dropped
and
off.
There's
and
there's a
has,
duck noise.
And I hear a duck noise. I haven't heard it since we started talking about it, so.
You scared the duck
away.
It's the clone.
The clone is probably messing with me somewhere. No, he's overwhelmed. It's the first 2 weeks of seventh grade now, so he's trying to catch up. So he's doing good, though. I'm going to take him fishing. Let him relax. Get him out on the water. It's always a good thing.
All right, here's my answer.
Okay,
do
your answer.
I asked Kayak Wars about posting that chewed up redfish.
Uh-huh.
Do I post as 30 inches or what? I think what I think it should have been. Doe, really not kidding. Post it what you think it would have been. I think you should get extra points just for getting it in. I said, okay. Just don't want to start any commotion over this. Has anyone else posted a chewed fish? Yes. Tall Tales from Revolution. Revolution.
Team Revolution.
So there you have it. I'm going to post that fish.
<You're good. laughs> All right. Well.
All right. So we're going to get some points on the board. Yeah. Well, not much, but it's something, right?
It's something. Hopefully I'll catch some fish.
I contributed a little bit.
What?
So I contributed a little bit.
What team was
it?
Yeah, you did. What team did they say it was, D? Revolution?
Yeah, Team Revolution.
Posted a chewed up fish, and who was it?
Oh, I just closed the window.
Tall Tails. Okay, I got
Tall Tails.
Tails.
Yeah.
I was looking for. I don't see any pictures. Oh, there they go. I don't see. Oh, was that a. No, those are not chewed up, so. He's got some nice big trout, though. You see, somebody caught one. It was like a stinking monster, like a 34-inch trout over in Texas.
No.
Yeah.
In Texas?
Yeah.
No, they should have been number one on the South Wars then.
No, it wasn't. I don't think it was anybody on Kayak Wars.
Oh. My biggest is a 34-inch trout.
That's a monster trout.
That's a trout. That's 11 pounds.
Yeah, that is a big old trout. What's the record? Red Drum, 51 inches is the all-time Kayak Wars record, but that's in the south central. In the southeast, it's 48 inches D is the record from Florida Kayak. 48-inch
trout?
A 48-inch drum is a red drum.
Oh, drum.
Yeah, the
oh, yeah.
trout, the trout record for all-time Kayak Wars Southeast trout is 30.5. You could beat that.
Get out!
Yeah.
You just missed it by half an inch.
Right. You should have put the stretcher on that rascal.
Frick. No, that wouldn't have worked.
41 inches for snook. There's a three-way tie.
Just do what everybody else does on that damn thing. Put a Coke can down on the ground and say the thing was 55 inches.
One of those little bitty Cokes, right? Those little short Cokes.
Yeah. That really aggravated me, man. I'm sorry. Yeah. That's one of the reasons why I wasn't really even that pumped about it after that whole.
You know what? You know what I love about it is that, you know, me and Rob have been just slackers, and D has been carrying us crazy through this thing. And we're still, like, number 7 in the team standings.
Yeah.
I mean, if you guys had... Yeah.
But we are. But the crazy thing is this. I mean, the guys that are leading the thing are from South Florida. And they paddle a mile off the beach. Yeah, they paddle a mile off the beach and they're catching 100-point fish.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, okay. So D's got to go out and catch 15 trout to equal one of their pelagic species.
Yeah.
15 big trout. So it's like, come on. It should be a completely different section. It shouldn't even be related into the same thing.
Yeah. And ironically, I did speak with the guys that run Kayak Wars, and they were talking about being able to separate that kind of a situation. But it becomes an issue in some areas, in my opinion, because you still can be inshore and you can be offshore. You can't do, you know, how do you segregate it completely, you know?
Right.
That's
the
problem.
You can do a classification of offshore species, and whenever you enter your fish like you would do now, it's fresh or saltwater. You could enter your fish fresh or saltwater, then inshore or offshore. And then your points
offshore,
would go towards, right. Then your points would go towards an offshore category. And I mean, one's going to catch a yellowfin tuna or a blackfin tuna or a sailfish fishing in Jacksonville.
Right.
Right.
Or fishing here or fishing, you know, it's just not going to happen unless you get mothershipped out there. And
right.
I mean, I still plan on doing that by summer's end, do a bunch of those trips, but even if I start now to catch up to where those guys are in points with offshore species, it's going to be tough, you know.
Yeah, they got to spike.
But then 400%. They're going to argue the point of they're not. This is why it's called a team, because you can have someone on your team that fishes all inshore, and you can have someone on your team that all offshore, and it offsets all those points. and we ironically don't have anybody fishing offshore.
Right.
Yeah.
So you have to find the balance in your team members to be able to make up for that. So
yeah.
That's where the problem comes in the team category. Now, they were talking about, because I've been actually chatting with these guys for a while, about the, there's, you know, the Kayak Angler Award themselves, where I can't get out of the fifth place, and I can't get out of there because all my fish are inshore.
Right, you can only count
one. Right, I'm number one on the inshore record, but anybody above me is offshore. Everybody's offshore, offshore, offshore. So I'll never be able to surpass these people.
Right.
But that's what I'm saying. I think that there's enough kayakers that are on Kayak Wars where it shouldn't be that big of an issue to separate the two categories. Because you're not going to find teams that are anywhere further north than, say, Fort Pierce that are going to be doing what those guys down there do. And trust me, I'm not sour grapes at all. I mean, kudos to those guys for doing what they do. I think it's awesome.
Yeah.
And if I lived in South Florida, I'd do the same thing. But it's just not realistic. It's definitely something to me that kind of defeats the whole purpose of Kayak Wars as far as a team event. Because we got Chip, who's in Georgia. We got Rob, who's over in the Gulf, over in Clearwater, who would have to paddle 50 miles to go out and catch some of those fish.
Yeah.
Really? It's just not realistic. So, and if they're going to include that as just a normalcy of a fishery, then don't make the point so big. Don't make the blackfin tuna point so big. Don't make the dolphin point so big. Make it like a redfish or a trout. Because that's basically their redfish and their trout. You know, it's no different for them to go out and catch those as it is for me and you to go catch snook and tarpon and trout and whatever else we catch.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's the point spread.
Yeah.
You know, he, for all intents and purposes, should be leading everything that's ever been done in Kayak Wars history ever, because she fishes almost every single day and she catches quality fish every time she fishes. So she should have technically more points, because I bet you dollars to donuts she's put more fish on the board.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking at the top guy, which is a guy named Randall Sneff, Jaeger Schnapps there. And he's leading. And anybody who's listening to the podcast or what on later on, it's just a discussion point. I mean, the guys have been on here from Kayak Wars. We had them on as guests. And I listen and read the forum section in Kayak Wars, and it's a lot of work. And granted, I know that we're going to get some discussion on the Kayak Angler's Choice Awards. I know we will. But I mean, the guy, you, number one, for the Kayak Angler record, you know, for the angler, individual angler thing, you can only measure one fish of each species towards your total points, right? So with this big fish, it will usurp and go past your biggest red drum, right? So it'll take over points for that. But still, it's only a 20-point fish.
Right.
Okay, so he's got the species that he lists. He's got red drum, shark, king mackerel, grouper, tarpon, blackfin tuna, barracuda, dorado, billfish, amberjack, largemouth bass, bowfin, pompano, Atlantic bonito, little tuny bonita, and mangrove snapper. So he's got all of those. And then
this is what I'm saying too. Dee's got 171 total fish that she's put in.
Right.
He had 106.
Yeah.
171 fish that she's placed. That's
ridiculous. Dee has six species listed. Red drum, trout, snook, flounder, sheepshead, and pompano. So, I mean, there's certainly a strategy to it. And, you know, I mean, the guys listen, so they'll pay attention and they'll try it. But I know that it's got to be a powerful lot of work, because, I mean, with a lot of – at the beginning of the year when they started it and they kicked it off, there was a lot of complaints about guys, you know, not measuring their fish and just bringing them alongside and stuff and measuring dead fish and stuff like that. And So, you know, they go through, they look at each submission. Oh, my gosh, I can't imagine doing all that email and stuff. So, but it's interesting. I think it's, I think it's really interesting that basically with, you know, with our team, you know, we've got, hang on, where's it at? We have, we're in seventh place. Is that where we're at? Yeah, we're in seventh place with 2,580 points. The leaders have 10,385. Second place is 7,395. And then, I mean, we're not that far behind. I mean, if I caught some fish or Rob caught some fish, we could probably get up to, I mean, we could probably challenge third place. But, I mean, they have twice as many points as we do, or almost twice as many. But, you know, we've had a total of 205 submissions, and 171 of them have come from D.
Yeah.
So if we had five D's fishing, there, you know, even still, with only six species, it'd still probably be pretty tough to catch those guys catching tarpon and stuff.
It's like, I don't know, I think that the points are... And again, I'm not griping. I'm not sour grapes at all. I honestly, I can care less. I'm just saying, the point system. There needs to be something done about how many points you receive for a fish. Like, you shouldn't be able to go out and catch a 12-inch dolphin fish and measure that for anything. You shouldn't be proud of catching a 12-inch dolphin. I mean, really, the fish is a week old.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And like for Dee, she doesn't even catch 12-inch trout.
Yeah.
You know. She catches trout that would eat a 12-inch dolphin. And I just think the points should reflect that, you know. You should get, whatever.
Quality fish points or something.
Yeah, quality fish points. And not even that. It's just like I was looking at the point system that they had, and then the points, the way the points are given out per species, it's kind of crazy. Like, one thing that I was stoked to see, though, was Red Snapper. Red Snapper,
right.
You can get 20 points per Red Snapper if it's small. You know, you get 20 point bonus if he's 25 inches or bigger.
Yeah.
And I can go park off the side of a mothership right now and sit on one spot out off our coast and just kill them things. But I'm only allowed 25 of them per month. I'll catch 25 of them in a single trip.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But how often would the normal guy be able to go out and do that? That's what I'm just trying to say.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, the dolphin points. You get 25 points for a dolphin. There's no minimum length on a dolphin. So 25 points for a 12-inch fish.
Yeah, well, can get it for a 1-inch fish because the minimum length is 0 inches. Yeah, Chesapeake Bay Kayak in the chat room brought up a point that in the northeast section, the first place angler has six species listed, and Rob Choi has 17 species, and he's in sixth place in the northeast.
Yeah,
so it's kind of a reverse thing, but similar thing in that the guy probably goes out and catches stripers or something and gets more points for it.
It's just, you know, it's unfortunate that there's not a species that's inshore that, say, for instance, when Dee goes fishing, she doesn't have an opportunity to catch a billfish, but the guys down south can go out and on any given day can catch a billfish. It's not a big deal to catch sailfish off the South Florida beach. It's 150 points for one fish.
Linda Cavett caught two within 3 days out of Panama City. Now, they weren't very big, but they would have been worth 300 points for her.
Right.
So,
but 300 points, if you look at it like that, 300 points in redfish is what? How many redfish you got to catch to get 300 points? You got to catch 30.
30 of them, and you only
small.
Get 50. Now, you're going to get 20 bonus points, D, because it's over 40 inches. You're going to claim over 40 inches. That's a trophy
Ooh.
Length for a red drum.
Ooh.
So you're going to get – that's a 30-point fish for you.
Woohoo!
I mean,
my trout today that That's 15 points, and then you add another 20 on top of that.
Yeah, because you
I
had 27.
I did better with the trout than a 45-minute fight with a redfish, you know?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It just, it's kind of really funky to me. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's tough. I mean, don't get me wrong. I wouldn't want to be in their place when it comes to answering the mail that they do, because I know people get really challenging about it and stuff. And
yeah, I'm sure.
But fishing is fun. So, well.
And I have to give a lot of kudos to the guys because, I mean, it's my first year actually communicating with them, and I think they answer every question straightforward and do the best you can kind of a thing. And we'll think of that for next year. And, yeah, we already have that on our list and all kinds of stuff like that. So it's a developing thing just like any tournament, you know. Everybody's going to have a grudge and thinks they can run it better than the next guy. So
and they,
I think they're doing
they
a great
try
job.
To give everybody the benefit of the doubt, you know.
Right.
And that's great because, I mean, you know, it's like I know, like I said, I'm ready for discussion points for the Kayak Angler's Choice Awards. I know that it's going to happen. And, you know, somebody's not going to be happy because you can't please everybody. But we try to do our best. And that's what they do. They try to listen to everybody and make the best decision to give everybody the benefit of the doubt. And, you know, hopefully people keep fishing. So let's see what we got here.
You do get 30 points for triple tail.
Not till October, dear.
I guarantee if you fish those markers right now, there's triple tail on them.
Well, I have to get a sit on top because those waves are going to kill me. And it's in a trolling motor.
Yeah, I got a buddy of mine.
It's a long paddle, man.
I got a buddy of mine who's a commercial triple tail fisherman. He's been catching them down your way.
Those are fun to catch.
Well, tell him to get his rope out and
tow
me out there.
Did you see the picture I posted the other night? The guys down in Chokoloski.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm saying all right, but have you seen their boat that they use for their mothership trips? It's a 27-foot Carolina skiff.
Mm-hmm.
And they have it set up. They put six kayaks up in the bow of it. They've got the steering wheel. You know, the center console is all the way in the aft section of the boat. They've got no decking in the front of that Carolina skiff and all. And it's like, man, that's what we need. We need a boat like that, and it would still be a rough ride offshore because those things are pretty well flat-bottomed. But it's pretty cool setup that they've got. But they could take six kayaks and zoom you around down there and throw your boats in the water and stuff. And there was the other thing that I posted, too, is one of those, like a landing craft boat that they use up in Alaska. They're aluminum, and they have the little bow that drops down, you know, so you could actually just kind of sit in your kayak and push yourself off the front of the boat. One of these days.
Well, I don't know if a lot of people know about this, but the Heritage Division of Native is going to kind of dwindle away. So, like, the Redfish Heritage kayak is no longer via Heritage. It's now considered Native Redfish. And then they're also making a kind of a cheap, I don't want to say cheap, but a stripped-down version of the Native Ultimate so that it's a little bit more economical for other people. But with the Redfish being a sit-on top, now I have probably a better chance of being able to get that and purchase that and go offshore, which Chuck and I were discussing doing some beach launches and going out. So maybe we could put something together with that and the boudinoggle and stuff. So
yeah, that'd
be fun. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it would be. Well, I know when I was going through flight school in Pensacola, my wife was teaching, and I've got family that are down in Port St. Lucie in the Jensen Beach area. And, you know, that's where, if you look at the map of Florida, that's where that little kind of humpback is on the peninsula there. And that was a great place for doing beach diving because you could just walk right into the surf in the early morning and be just calm. And you wouldn't have to swim 100 yards off the beach, and you were on a reef and full of lobster and fish and everything. It was crazy. You swim another 100 yards, and you're on a second reef that's in about 60 feet of water. I mean, I think the Gulf Stream is like the closest point of approach right there on that section of Florida, because that's the part that sticks out furthest to the east right there. And that would probably be a great place to do a beach launch, you know, and because you wouldn't have to paddle very far, and you would actually be in or right on the edge of the Gulf Stream. So lots of things we got to do, you know. There's not enough time and not enough money. So Chuck, you're gonna start drawing in all those big sponsors and stuff, and then when we get our show on XM Radio, we'll have big giant sponsors to take us out and do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, man.
Okay.
Well, you know, I was just thinking that what Dee was saying there about the sit on top and taking it off the beach and that kind of thing. The area where I really, really want to go is just south of where we were on Monday and down around Fort Pierce. And there's been a lot of giant mangrove snapper along those reefs. The only problem is getting the right water clarity and getting a calm enough day. But, man, Monday would have been the day for sure. It was so flat. I'm actually looking at a new kayak myself. I don't know. I haven't seen one with my own eyes, but when Isaac put up the video of the new Jackson Cuda, dude, that thing, I don't know, but that thing, for whatever reason, has definitely sparked my interest.
Yeah?
Did you see that?
I've seen the Cusa, not the Cuda.
The Cuda's the new one, and, I mean, they've thought about just about everything. They even have a spot up on the bow of the kayak where you can kind of bend your pole around and put the tip into like a secured area, so in case you're going under trees or going through real close quarters or tall grass or whatever, you don't have to worry about the tip top of your rod getting snapped off. They've got a bunch of other really cool design features that I haven't seen before in a kayak, and man, it is see, hammerhead saw it. The thing looks nasty, man. And if it's as stable as they say it is, and for me, standing is everything. D as well, but for me, standing and having nothing underneath my feet where it's a nice flat surface is important. And that Cuda looks like it has a very flat area for your feet when you stand up. Plus, that dual seating is supposed to be. I don't know. I haven't sat in it. The guys I've talked to who have said that it's as comfortable, if not maybe even a little bit more comfortable than the ultimate seat, which I find hard to believe. But hey,
all right,
I like that seat. The seat's awesome. So we'll see.
So which one are we talking? Okay, I see the Big Tuna is a new one.
It's a brand new one. They have. I don't think they've released it yet. It's brand spankety new. You got a video?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I'm looking at it now. Here it is. Oh, that's pretty cool.
Not this?
The breading all came off.
I hear the soft music and the candles being lit. Dee's dinner has arrived.
Yeah, I gotta go.
All right, yeah, we've been on here for an hour anyway, so Dee, thanks for showing up and enjoy the calamari and the candlelight with your
Yeah.
Get a little, right. What kind of wine is he serving with it?
Oh, no, beer.
Oh, beer. Okay. Well, that's cool. It's bubbly.
Yeah.
All right. We'll see you next week. Chuck, thanks a lot, man.
Yeah, man.
Great time.
Right.
And,
bye, everybody.
Yeah, good night, Dee. And we'll do it again next week. So let's see. I'm trying to get my surveymonkey.com/S/kayakfishing. Get your votes in. Kayak Anglers Choice Awards. The voting is open. We have it up and running. It's not as fancy and sharp and all that kind of stuff, but the votes are there and they're going to start counting. So the voting is open. It'll be open for the next 30, 45 days, I think, and we'll see how it goes and we'll get everybody on board. We've got shows now Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, two of them on Tuesday. So check us out, kayakfishingradio.com. Chuck will be kicking off every week with the Monday show, and we'll he's doing a great job there. So visit that. Visit our friends at yakangler.com and georgiakayakfishing.com. And we are going to be – the next time we'll be out and about – as far as Kayak Fishing Radio goes, we're going to be in Panama City, Florida for Labor Day weekend fishing with the Panama City Kayak Fishing Association and their first Saturday event. It's on Facebook. Check them out. Follow us on Twitter or like our page on Facebook at Kayak Fishing Radio. And we'll see everybody next week. Chuck, we're going to take it out on your new music, man. How's that?
Cool. Appreciate it. Hey, real quick.
Yeah,
guys that are still on and listening and going to listen to the podcast, this upcoming Monday, I have a special guest. It will be Greg from Flytooth Flyline. He is the national sales manager from Flytooth Flyline, a brand new flyline company. So if you guys fly fish, tune in. It should be a pretty interesting talk.
All right, man. We look forward to it.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Have a good weekend, man. We'll see you on Monday. Here we go.